The responsibility was proving sadly confining, however, particularly as Iskierka was not to be trusted with the eggs for any length of time. Fortunately, the town was very small, and the promontory visible from nearly any point within it if one only stretched out one's neck to look, so Temeraire felt he might risk it only long enough to find Lawrence and bring him back. Of course, Temeraire was sure no one would be absurd enough to try and treat Lawrence with any disrespect, but it could not be denied that men were inclined to do unaccountable things from time to time, and Forthing's remark stirred uneasily in the back of his head. It was true, if one wished to be very particular about such things, that Lawrence was a convicted felon, convicted of treason, and his sentence commuted to transportation only at the behest of Lord Wellington, after the last campaign in England. But that sentence had been fulfilled, in Temeraire's opinion. No one could deny that Lawrence had now been transported, and the experience had been quite as much punishment as anyone could have wished. The unhappy allegiance had been packed to the portholes with still more unhappy convicts, who had been kept chained wrist and ankle all the day, and stank quite dreadfully whenever they were brought out for exercise in their clanking lines, some of them hanging limp in the restraints. It seemed quite like slavery to Temeraire. He did not see why it should make so vast a difference as Lawrence said, only because a law court had said the poor convicts had stolen something. After all, anyone might take a sheep or a cow, if it were neglected by its owner and not kept under watch. Certainly, it made the ship as bad as any slaving vessel. The smell rose up through the planking of the deck, and the wind brought it forward to the Dragon deck almost without surcease. Even the aroma of boiling salt pork from the galley below could not erase it. And Temeraire had learned by accident, perhaps a month out on their journey, that Lawrence was quartered directly by the jail, where it must have been far worse. Lawrence had dismissed the notion of making any complaint, however.
"I do very well, my dear," he had said, "as I have the whole liberty of the Dragon deck for my days and the pleasanter nights, which not even the ship's officers have. It would be unfair in the extreme, when I have not their labour, for me to be demanding some better situation. Someone else would have to shift places to give me another."
So it had been a very unpleasant transportation indeed, and now they were here, which no one could enjoy either. Aside from the question of kangaroos, there were not very many people at all, and nothing like a proper town. Temeraire was used to seeing wretched quarters for dragons in England, but here people did not sleep much better than the clearings in any covert, many of them in tents or makeshift little buildings which did not stay up when one flew over them, not even very low, and instead toppled over and spilled out the squalling inhabitants to make a great fuss. And there was no fighting to be had at all, either. Several letters and newspapers had reached them along the way, when quicker frigates passed the labouring bulk of the Allegiance. It was very disheartening to Temeraire to have Lawrence read to him how Napoleon was reported to be fighting again, in Spain this time, and sacking cities all along the coast, and Lien surely with him. And meanwhile, here they were, on the other side of the world, uselessly. It was not in the least fair, Temeraire thought disgruntledly, that Lien, who did not think celestials ought to fight ever, should have all the water herself while he sat here nursing eggs. There had not even been a small engagement at sea for consolation. They had once seen a French privateer, off at a distance, but the small vessel had set every scrap of sail and vanished away at a heeling pace. Iskierka had given chase anyway. Alone, as Lawrence pointed out to Temeraire, he could not leave the eggs for such a fruitless adventure, and to Temeraire's satisfaction, after a few hours, she had been forced to return empty-handed. The French would certainly not attack Sydney, either. Not when there was nothing to be won but kangaroos and hovels. Temeraire did not see what they were to do here at all. The eggs were to be seen to their hatching, but that could not be far off, he felt sure, and then there would be nothing to do but sit about and stare out to sea, as far as he could tell. The people were all either engaged in farming, which was not very interesting, or were convicts, who it seemed to Temeraire marched out for no reason in the morning, and then marched back at night. He had flown after a party of them one day just to see, and they were only going to a quarry to cut out bits of stone, and then bringing the bits of stone back to town in wagon carts, which seemed quite absurd and inefficient to him. He could have carried 5 cartloads in a single flight of perhaps 10 minutes, but when he had landed to offer his assistance, the convicts had all run away, and the soldiers had come to complain to Lawrence stiffly afterwards. They certainly did not like Lawrence. One of them had been very rude and said, "For 5 pence I would have you down at the quarries too,"
at which Temeraire put his head down and said, "For tuppence I will have you in the ocean. What have you done, I should like to know, when Lawrence has won a great many battles with me, and we drove Napoleon off, and you have only been sitting here? You have not even managed to raise a respectable number of cows."
Temeraire now felt perhaps that jibe had been a little injudicious, or perhaps he ought not have let Lawrence go into town after all, when there were people who wished to put him into quarries.
"I will go and look for Lawrence and Granby," he said to Iskierka, "and you will stay here. If you go, you will likely set something on fire anyway."
"I will not set anything on fire," Iskierka said, "unless it needs setting on fire to get Granby out."
"That is just what I mean," Temeraire said. "How, pray tell, would setting something on fire do any good at all?"
"If no one would tell me where he was," Iskierka said, "I am quite sure that if I set something on fire and told them I would set the rest on fire too, they would come about. So there."
"Yes," Temeraire said, "and in the meanwhile, very likely he would be in whatever house you had set on fire, and be hurt. And if not, the fire would jump along to the nearby buildings whether you liked it to or not, and he would be in one of those. Whereas I will just take the roof off a building, and then I can look inside and lift them out if they are in there, and people will tell me anyway."
"I can take a roof off a building too," Iskierka said. "You are only jealous because someone is more likely to want to take Granby because he has more gold on him and is much more fine."
Temeraire swelled with indignation and breath, and would have expelled them both in a rush, but Roland interrupted urgently, saying,
"Oh, don't quarrel. Look, here they are all coming back, right as rain. That is them on the road, I'm sure."
Temeraire whipped his head around. Three small figures had just emerged from the small cluster of buildings which made the town, and were on the narrow cattle track which came towards the promontory.